I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. At this point, we will turn the meeting over to the moderator.
Sounds like a plan.
And we will open this.
So we have a couple of things on the agenda. Bill Canfield is here with his update, legislative update. And I could have sworn, Joe, were you going to, you had something?
After Mr. Canfield.
After Mr. Canfield. If there's no objection, we'll have Bill Canfield. Seeing none. You're on, Bill. Bill, they gave us this thing. Careful. To stand up on.
We're
to fall off of. I don't know which one.
Good evening.
Is this on? Doesn't sound like it.
Is this on?
Now it is.
Okay.
You might have to pick it up.
Okay. Lean into it.
That
might
be. Yeah, you have to. All right. Read your
best. Yeah. So, good evening. Let's get to one of the topics of most importance. The Education Secretary Saunders laid out the governor's bold, transformative to build stronger schools, stronger students, and vibrant communities. The plan is founded on three basic principles: nation-leading quality, more equity for region to region, and a funding system Vermonters can both understand and afford. This conversation must be about quality for our children. Vermonters invest over $2 million in public education systems, more per pupil than nearly all other states. However, educational outcomes compared to other states are not acceptable and far from equal. There are lots of special interests that will weigh into this conversation and spread mis and disinformation. Governor Scott's administration is putting students in education quality first. This plan is bold because it needs to be. Last year's 13.8% property tax increase was the last straw for many taxpayers. We must fix the system and make it more sustainable and provide better outcomes. We can be the best in the nation. We make these changes, focus on fundamentals, follow through. For decades, policymakers have tinkered with a failing system that no longer works for students, educators, or taxpayers. To create a system that increases quality, sustainability, and equity, we need to make this type of change. Transformation is essential, and we all know the current system is failing. This is a new approach for Vermont, but it's based on best practices that will, when fully implemented, we'll get better results for students, teachers, and taxpayers. Everyone needs to set aside the old arguments of the past. We can't be distracted by those trying to maintain the status quo or those who say we simply need to spend more. Funding a broken system does not fix it. Real reform requires real reform. These changes are necessary if Vermont wants to have the best public education system in America. We need the courage to make a change for the benefit of our children and our communities. We no longer afford to mistake our familiarity with the current system with these changes that will get better outcomes for our children and make us the best in the nation. We all know we can do better than the current system. We must have the courage to do the work and follow through. If we do, we will have the best education system in America, in every region of our state. Aside from the Vermont's Education Transformation Committee on Ways and Means has been looking at draft legislation that would change property reappraisals as we know them. We had one draft a week or two ago, and another draft just last Tuesday. which was a whole lot different. We took testimony from many stakeholders on Thursday, but this bill seems still to be fluid and subject to change. That to stay tuned for this one. H437, the Let's Build Homes bill, was introduced this past week. However, it got introduced in the Senate first, so the Senate Commerce and Economic Development Committee is taking the lead on this. They've already been working on it. We'll send it over to the House when they're finished. This, you may be familiar with the Project Ready TIF idea, and this bill looks to help that. So,
that it?
Any questions?
Yes.
Her hands up.
So how close are we to getting the fuel tax kiboshed?
Well, it was brought
fossil
up.
Fossil fuels or whatever.
They tried to bring it up in the Senate. It was voted down. So now, I don't know if we can get it off the wall in the House. So it's supposed to be acted upon in 2025, the final vote. So there's a vote in each body, the House and the Senate, to abolish. But there's also bills where they think they can fix it. Yes. So we're not too close.
Could you give us some quick bullet points on what changes that the education bill will make?
Well,
to the what we have now. A few things that would change. But what's in the bill that would change a system fundamentally?
The bill comes out tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've read it.
I haven't seen it. We haven't seen the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We've seen bits and pieces.
Well, I see.
We haven't taken any action, not even committees. So I can't give you a bullet to how it's going to be different. Yeah.
Okay. The other question I had was the not taxing of veterans benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a part of the bill that would make up for the lost revenue?
Yeah, it's $3.9 million, and it was built into Governor Scott's budget.
So, in other words, they have a mechanism to make up.
They have a mechanism.
Okay.
Governor Scott's budget is only based on revenue increases since last year.
Ah.
That's what he spends in his budget.
Okay.
So that would be ongoing if passed.
So in other words, what I'm asking you is it budget neutral?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's this budget.
Okay.
Not last year's budget. But
right. But it's not law yet, is it?
No. So I want to point out that's only for military retirees.
Right.
People with 20 years or more. It's not for all veterans.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
So I've been listening to some of the testimony in the House Ed Committee and Senate Ed Committee. It seems like in the House Ed Committee, you don't have. Of course, it's controlled by Democrats. They don't have a lot of appetite for the governor's plan. They would, rather than five districts, I think they'd rather see 14, county by county, or 17, which would be the career and technical center regions. If it's 14, I think, and they apportion the districts, I think we would lose Orwell. If it's 17, we would be about the size that we are now, but we would have, as I understand it, one school board member, and there would be like five subdivisions within Rutland County. And we would, I think our district would look a lot like it does now, but we would have one school board member out of five.
Right. That's the only one that gets the vote at the regional board. That they're going to have district advisor.
Yes, right. There would still be advisory boards. I don't know how much participation there would be there, but what I'm kind of wondering is if we'll get it done this year or if it's going to spill over into next year.
I think there's going to be a mix of what's happening this year, next year, and hereafter, and we're looking, asking for a time frame so we can know what to expect.
The other question I have is we'd be getting $13,200 per student in the foundation formula. And I think there's sort of a median that includes Chittenden County. Most of the Rutland County schools, maybe all of them, they don't spend $13,200. We certainly don't. We spend $11,000. So my question would be, would we have to spend all that money? Could we return some of it to our taxpayers? Or maybe that's something you can ask people up there.
Yeah, I don't have an answer, but
I
can answer that. I want to get back to what you're talking about.
That gets into the weeds.
You're talking about the map and how many districts. So it's only been, when it came out, they showed us two maps, one with 12 districts, one with five, and then they went with five. That's all they've been presented to us. Seth Bongartz was in the House. He's now in the Senate. He's from Manchester, Bennington County, and he's the chair of Senate Education. He came up with a map the other day. That was 10 districts, and it's not the last map we're going to see.
And but it's a compromise. It seems like a compromise. I saw it.
Yeah, but they separated Rutland from Rutland Town. Rutland City would go north, Rutland Town, which go, you know, it's a donut around the city.
Oh, wow.
It's going south on that map. So that stood out for me right now. So some of that stuff's not going to fly. But, you know, we're going to see more maps before we zero in on something.
Have they taken account for the whatever's going on in Washington right now, the implosion of the federal government as it pertains to education spending? Are they contemplating that factoring in the...
They're on edge. It's 30% of our budget. So 30% of our statewide budget.
Is the education department.
No, from the feds.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Doesn't look like it. Thanks, Bill.
I got one more thing for the rescue squad. As I left the Ways and Means Committee, the certificate of need permit, which is 0.125% of the cost of an ambulance. So you need a certificate of need for each ambulance. And as it left House Healthcare Committee, and the Ways and Means, that fee goes away. You may still need the certificate of need, but the fee goes away. But that's got to get through the House floor and the Senate. That's good news if it carries through.
Is that for each ambulance or each ambulance?
Each ambulance. And it's the certificate of needs, they bumped up the cost. It was too low. So somebody's going to build an addition out of the hospital. It's not $2 million. Now it's 10 or 15 or 20. So they raised the level of those. But in the meantime, they took this away.
What's the purpose of a CON?
I believe they're inspected, aren't they?
They're
inspected by the state.
The certificate.
Certificate of needs is the area needs it. We need it for our area of rescue. So that's, they verify it. Certificate of need for the hospital before they can do an addition. Okay, thank you.
Joe? Echoing.
I don't need to hear myself up here.
Use your stentorian voice.
Stentorian, that's a good word.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. It's nice to see everybody. It's not very often that we all get together and, you know, all of our my friends in one room. So I'm happy to see everybody tonight. And I'm proud that I get to stand up here and do what I'm getting ready to do. So if I could see Mr. Covino and Mr. Duell, could I ask you to stand up here and be embarrassed for just a second? So tonight, we're going to start on a really positive note. And we're going to recognize two of our outstanding officers whose bravery, professionalism, and sound judgment exemplify the highest standards of law enforcement. Officers Tyler Duell and Thomas Covino tonight are being awarded the Medal of Merit from the Select Board for their exceptional actions during a life-threatening crisis. The officers responded to a call that could have ended tragically, and I wouldn't be standing up here doing this tonight. Not to get into too much detail, but a man in his garage, distressed, threatening to harm himself with an axe. The officers received a call from about a man threatening to harm himself with an axe. As officers tried to defuse the situation, the situation escalated much worse, and the man charged out of his garage, grabbing his wife with a knife in one hand and his wife in the other. At that time, the officers stepped back. They were trying to talk the young man down. And he kept saying, the man said, he says, "I'm going to do it. I'll kill her." And he said, "You're going to have to kill me." This man was trying to commit suicide by cop, as they say. It was an intense and volatile moment, as you can imagine. Our officers demonstrated true heroism at that point. Their controlled response prevented harm from coming to the suspect's wife. She was uninjured, and ensured the safety of everyone on the scene, including our fellow officers and including the suspect. Courage in law enforcement is not just about running towards danger. It's about having the wisdom to de-escalate a situation, to protect all of those involved, including a potential suspect, and to serve with integrity. Officers Duell and Covino, your actions that day reflect the very best of this department and the community you serve. We and our community are very grateful for your dedication, your professionalism, and your commitment to keeping all of us safe. On behalf of the town of Fairhaven, it's my honor to present you the Merit Award.
Thank you.
More of you, sir. That went pretty good. Let's see if we can get the next one just as good. Now, it's really an honor for me. It's an honor for me to present this next award. And I don't think the word hero is too extreme in this case. Now I'd like to present the Police Chief William Humphreys of the Fairhaven Police Department. Another Medal of Merit. His remarkable actions recently exemplified over the summer in the same situation. Yeah, Chief, thank you. Recently exemplified courage, quick thinking, and unparalleled leadership in police force. In a moment of crisis when lives are at stake, our police chief, Chief Humphreys, stepped into danger without hesitation. Here's a man that was not on duty, but he heard the call come in, and he went to help his men out. His bravery not only saved the lives of his fellow officers, but prevented a potentially tragic outcome from the suspect himself. Chief Humphreys exemplifies the values we cherish here in Fairhaven for our law enforcement leaders: integrity, compassion, and strength. His actions remind us that true leadership involves protecting those we serve, even when it means putting himself at risk. So today, I want us to recognize and celebrate not just the chief's actions on that fateful day, but the spirit of service he embodies for our community. Chief, thank you for your bravery and your leadership. You guys are still going. What a pleasure it is to do something like this. What a pleasure it is to do something like this instead of worrying about budgets for the moment. Let's recognize those that really make our community worthwhile living in. Okay, last one. And so now it's also an honor to stand here today and recognize someone who's dedicated so much time, so much of his time, energy, and wisdom to the town of Fairhaven. This one we're going to give to Bob Richards. Bob has served on the select board on and off since 1991, which, for a select board member, that's a remarkable commitment to public service. That's over 30 years of his time dedicated to the town of Fairhaven. It's not just the select board he serves on. There's been zoning board meetings, planning commission meetings, and all those nights and weekends that Bob has dedicated to the town. Bob, your leadership, your thoughtful decision making, and your unwavering dedication to the town of Fairhaven has left a lasting impact. Whether it was navigating challenges like going through a COVID pandemic, you get the idea. Important projects like the lights in the park or the parking lot, or just simply being a steadying voice in the community, you've helped shape Fairhaven into the town we're proud to call home. So, on behalf of the town of Fairhaven, it's a privilege to present you with a plaque as a token of our appreciation.
Need it.
Thank you for bearing with me.
The only thing I would say, it's been an honor to do this. One thing I have to do is I have to publicly apologize to two people that are here, Lorraine Brown and Kelly Donaldson, because of because I was burned out. But whatever it was, I publicly chastised them, so they get a public apology. It wasn't. I had no business doing what I felt when I yelled at those guys, and I'm very embarrassed by that, and I'm sorry that I did both you guys. But thank you very much for this.
Kelly, I just want to say, Bob, thank you. I acknowledge your apology, and I accept it.
Once again, I appreciate
it. And we won't go anywhere else.
That's good news.
Bill?
So the one thing I wanted to say, I was thinking about it next week, but I also wanted to thank Bob on behalf of the police department itself. We've agree, disagree, but it hits. But Bob has shown leadership over the years. During our incident with the school, Bob was step in step, came to every meeting, represented the town itself. He went to state public safety meetings. And I got to say, like, at times, Bob was challenging. But the more I looked at my career, I think him being challenging made me a better officer, because it made me think outside of my box. It made me open up to what other people might feel. So I want to thank you, Bob, for making me a better officer. I want to thank you for your leadership. You will be missed.
Thank you. All right, I got to get my gavel. Not that we'll need it, but just in case. So on to the meeting. Once again, this year our town meeting is a hybrid, so we welcome those, if any, are on Zoom. Are there any? Is there anyone on Zoom?
There is.
There are people on Zoom, so that means we all have to speak up. It's really important that you speak up so that the people who are on Zoom can hear us. Can everyone hear me? I'll use my teacher voice. I will, from time to time, ask for those joining us digitally if they have any questions or comments. So, Ree, you're going to let me know if that happens. Again, for record keeping, please, Ree doesn't know everybody here, so if you stand up and say your name so that she can get that for the minutes, it's very helpful. Robert's rules are the order for this evening, and you cannot change Vermont law, but you can change Robert's rules. So you might hear me say, if there's no objections, we'll ignore Robert's rules or change them. Again, if there is no objection, that is to help move things along. Remember, all remarks must be addressed to the moderator. The moderator will do her best to recognize you in order. This is a little more difficult since the meeting is hybrid. You must be recognized to speak. I don't know everyone's name tonight, so I might have to point at you, so forgive me for that. A person may speak twice in the same day on the same topic, limited to 10 minutes. And Robert's rules requires that remarks must be confined to the merits of the question. The only difference tonight in that is we can't limit talk on a bond issue, and there is a bond issue before us. At this time, I ask that those who are not registered voters in the town of Fairhaven to please raise their hands, including those joining us digitally. If there is no objection, we will suspend the rules. That's what I meant, suspend the rules, to allow employees of Fairhaven and representatives from various organizations on warnings to speak. All right. Uh-oh, somebody took my book. Hopefully it's this one. That's
perfect.
The legal voters of the town of Fairhaven, the county of Rutland, state of Vermont, are hereby warned to attend the public informational hearing at the Fairhaven Grade School Library and also by electronic means on the first Monday in March, being March 3rd, 2025 at 7 p.m., and at the link provided below for discussion of Articles 1 through 19, to act on Article 20 and on the first Tuesday in March, being March 4th, 2025, at 10 a.m., at the Fairhaven Post 49 Legion Building, to vote by Australian ballot on Articles 1 through 19. Article 1. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to accept the town officer's report? Is there any discussion on Article 1? Mike.
Mike Standard. I would like to note that the last time I stood, it was to agree that challenging Bob is good for the town. Joe was speaking. Remember that. And also, you might want to set the 10-minute timer. So I am speaking as the elected auditor who was last chosen as the chair of the auditors for a moment, and then I will actually switch up to speaking as a resident voter taxpayer. Number one, speaking as the auditor, I would like to bring up the fact that we did not write or have printed in the town report this year a report of our quorum. The reason being, we, or at least I, who probably would have called the meeting, was waiting for four different things that I had asked for in public on October 22nd as the elected auditor, with the sentiments and overall discussion of the quorum in a 3.5-page letter that I delivered on television to the select board. I spoke during Article 1 last year, and I brought up the fact that I had delivered, as the chair of the auditors, a report, but there was not one page of information printed in the report from our independent auditor. And I believe I was told, and in the minutes, I believe it came out as, and I have it written down here, but I forgot my reading glasses, and I'm 49 years old now.
If you're talking about the minutes, it's on page 20 in the town report.
Sure. I believe it was printed in the minutes as might offer to the public. There it is. A copy of the independent auditor's report might be made available for review in town hall. And so, like, when I heard that, I was thinking it would be on that shelf where all of the other reports are available, including the town report, the school district, things like that, or on the town website. The answer that I would have loved to hear as the town auditor would be that it would be something from it printed in here. Since really we have this culture of only printing the good news in here, it's kind of like sending a report card home that only you're doing good at English and you're failing at science. Being a science teacher, I would want my kid's science grade to show up there. I don't know if that's an issue with the minutes keeper, and for you, we're very happy that you're doing this, but I don't recall it being a might. I don't think that's the correct word for what I heard that night. I thought that the townspeople were assured that we would have transparency. At that meeting, I had made the final sentiment that I would spend as long as I get elected as the auditor creating a culture in our town that made what we do financially with taxpayer dollars as, I think I said, as transparent as a dirty storefront window. But now that my ire is up, I'm going to like make it the discount table, which you almost knock over when you pull in. And I will spend the next year doing so. And my next comments will be as on this article as a resident and taxpayer. So if you can bear with me, what am I up to, Bree? Probably like four
minutes.
So speaking tonight as a resident, voter, taxpayer, etc., that I did not receive any communication from the select board or the town manager regarding the following four points. I guess you could call them. They were, some of them were recommendations, some of them are requests to try to create a culture of transparency where the auditors are valued instead of seen as this thing, well, Sandra will get sick of this in 3 years, so he'll probably, you know, do something else. But I vow tonight that I will be elected the auditor in this town as long as I live or until this happens. And you can mark my words on that because I'm a man of my word. We asked for a draft policy regarding citizen access to documents. So we wanted to have a policy that, you know, if Neil Robinson comes in and wants something printed out, you can get it printed out. Or you can have a policy that the select board votes on to say no one gets to have any documents. Whatever it is, we do believe that it should probably align with state statutes. And we didn't get that. We wanted a hearing out of citizens with concerns on current and future stipulations and oddities that they were finding in water bills or getting paid for jobs and this and that. And I know, and Bob had explained, some of those things are just like they don't show up at the meetings. So I guess I would like to ask through you, Ms. Moderator, Mrs. Moderator, if anyone here would like to comment on whether any of that has been done in the current year.
You want that answered now?
That would be great.
Do I have a comment from anyone on the select board?
I don't understand the question.
Well, I gave you a 3.5-page letter a year and a half.
You're talking about
like
whether or not
paragraph,
right.
So.
If documents can be made available.
That would be item number one. I don't care if the decision is, and I think I should say we didn't care at the time what the decision was, but there needs to be a policy. It's not like I'm busy today, so go away, or here's 50 pages, then you only wanted two. We need to have a policy in our town that allows you to show up and ask for the ash tree survey, let's say. Was that done?
Do we currently have a policy pertaining to access to documents by
yes.
registered voters or town residents?
Yes. Everything the town does is public knowledge. If you come in and ask me, I have 3 days to provide that information, and that's through state law. There's actually penalties written into state law for those who don't follow that policy. So,
okay.
For example, if you come in and ask for whatever budget document, I have 3 days to get that to you.
And my only comment, Mike, is I'm going from memories from the piece of paper that came out in the four items. I remember that,
right?
I remember taking them very seriously and looking at them. I thought I looked, and there is a policy, and it addressed all the concerns there. I thought that was in that policy. Where we may have fallen down, and if we did, I apologize for that, is probably it sounds like we didn't finish the loop and communicate back, hey, look, here's your concerns. On point one, this is the answer. On point two, this is the answer. On point three, this is the answer. Because I can remember taking that and making notes on each of those and checking and say, where are we on these right here? So
who's responsible?
I would be responsible for that.
Okay. So now we
know. So it sounds like we need to do better.
Okay. Mrs. Moderator, I have two more things on this, and then I will sit down. We recommended, because of the importance of programs like the dog park, concerts in the park, the recreation program, we recommended that financial statements should be provided to the auditors. I would like to ask the select board if they provided the chair or any of the other two auditors in the past year with the financial reports from the dog park. Or concerts in the park, or the recreation.
Well, I'm not supposed to do this, Mike, but I'm going to say this. The concerts in the park doesn't touch money. Whatever we take, we hand right back. In fact, someone from the town office comes and gives us our cash for that evening, and everything
okay.
goes to the bank. So there is no...
Moderator, my rebuttal to that is there a financial report for that?
I sure as heck hope so.
Me too.
But we're gonna ask Joe.
So all of those things are individual bank. I'm gonna say bank account, but it's a line item in your budget. And if the auditors would like those financial statements, the select board is not the group to go to. Auditors should talk directly to the treasurer to receive those documents.
Okay, noted. And lastly, the project finance planning recommendation that we made, that there are planning and reporting to the public on future projects to avoid the use of reserve funds that had been voted on prior by voters under other earmarks. For example, a sidewalk fund that we vote on, we decide that's a great idea to put money ahead for sidewalks. Should it be used for something else? The idea, and I think this is a direct quote from the letter of the quorum of the auditors at the time, is to avoid turning free money as it gets called quite often on this select board, into debt and misused funds. So my last question is, has there been a movement towards thinking things over a little more when there are big projects that involve free grant money to see, like, oh, what could happen with inflation, et cetera? And I know that's some loose language, but I've been up since 4:30 this morning.
Does anyone on the select board of town manager want to address that question?
Reserve accounts go to what they're for. So I don't know where you're getting your information. When they're voted on, if we take reserve account money, we have to actually vote on it as we take it. Each individual reserve account goes to what belongs to. We have a reserve account that pays, for instance, in-kind money that we have put in to a grant money, 20%, 10%, whatever it is. We have a reserve account specifically for that opportunity. So.
Does the state audit those?
They're audited. Everything is audited through our audit, our paid audit. So, yes. I mean, it's not state. It's our paid audit. But it's public government. So.
My only comment, it almost sounds, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, that you're thinking of a specific case. And I'd say, if you were, please come in and talk to us so we can look at. My understanding is they got a reserve account, and you mentioned something about earmark. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't disagree. Once you say this is where it's going to go, that's where it should go. Sounds like there's some concern that in a case or two that it may not happen. Come on in, talk to us. We'll try to get the answer. We're not. There really isn't any smoke and mirrors here. Damn, I don't know about the rest.
So, Mrs. Moderator, I guess the problem is sometimes we hear that a line item or a budget item isn't really actually part of the budget item, and that's pretty much a direct quote from the minutes from last year's meeting. And, for example, the fire truck, we were told that it's one big fund, and even though we have a spreadsheet that has different line items, you can spend money from different things that would have really, if you were to trace it back, have come from another line item. For example, we paid a fine of $17,000. Where is the line item for that? I guess, so there, Mrs. Moderator, is my specific question. Let's go with just the fine that was paid for mishandling of grant money and where the money to pay that came from the day that check was written.
Wait a minute.
Joe?
We paid no fine. We paid no fine for mishandling grant money. Our paid auditor sat in a meeting and somebody harassed him and said they wanted to see where that misappropriation was. He came out flatly and said there was no misappropriation of any grant funds. I take great umbrage to that. That is not true. That is not a fact.
So, Mrs. Moderator, I was not aware of that. So I apologize for that. I thought that you had to make a public apology for having to pay a $17,000 fine.
No, that is not a fact.
Okay.
Any other questions, Mike?
No.
Thank you.
All right.
Go ahead.
Lillian, I remember we're on Article 1.
I'm just Lillian Billis. I'm just following up on what Mike said. I'd like to correct what he said, and perhaps there's a misunderstanding. From my understanding, it was $17,000 ish that was paid a fine for VOSHA and asbestos. If that's a qualification, a clarification for that,
Mrs. Moderator,
then I believe it was
perhaps what I was thinking.
reduced to 7 by sphere with the architect or the contractor. But that's not my primary speaking.
Well, let's get that cleared up for us. Is that indeed?
It was an OSHA
violation.
That wasn't
a line item.
That's true. Okay, that was true.
So, Mrs. Moderator, I would like to say that that's what I was speaking of.
Right.
The reason for the fine was not my point. So my point was to provide him with an example of how are we able to write a check for $17,000? That's a dollar from every one of us here. Out of a budget that didn't have that appropriated for it. What did it come from? Did it come from the sidewalk fund? What will it end up showing up as a deficiency? The fire truck is a second example for you.
Joe?
So we did have some residents call Bosha on us, and we did get a fine. That's true. The architect who made the mistake and the construction company that was part of that mistake helped pay that fine because the town did what we should have done. We got our inspection. They made the error. We had to eat some of that damage. There is a line item, I think it's called judgments and damages, where that money came out of. And it certainly wasn't $17,000 we paid. We fought back against the people that actually made the mistake and made them pay some of that. Well, we are on the hook, but we fought that.
All right. One more thing. Sorry. I would like to make it known before this article is voted on that I will not be voting for Article 1, which is probably the first time in history of the state of Vermont anyone didn't, because we don't have a single page of being out of compliance with the federal government in our independent auditor's report printed. It would have been easy to just print the checklist that says we're out of compliance or the letter explaining why, but it was handled in a way because, you know, the independent auditors, they like to explain that they're just for management purposes. The problem is we have a town that doesn't support our auditors, and they're our only true functional way of hearing what's going on. And everything in the town report is good news, and there should have been that checklist printed in the town report showing that we are out of compliance with one of the 6 or 7 line items in there. And so I am just parlaying that through you. Thank you.
Thank you. Lillian.
I'd like to follow up on what Mr. Stannard said concerning the auditors, the paid auditors report, comment and then quick question. Way back, I want to say October or in the fall, just gone by, the paid auditor at one of the select board meetings did a telephone presentation review of the documents. And in, I believe, the select board members' packets, there was a letter or a report submitted by the auditor. At that time, I questioned, is that readily accessible, which under which is the Freedom of Information Act, yes, it would be. And Mr. Gunter did say, yes, you know, you come in 3 days, et cetera, which I did do. However, I did ask that night, and I did say that as the weather is getting colder, people with disabilities, people who have difficulty with no vehicle, people who may not everybody be have internet, would it be possible? It is possible, but could the would the select board or Mr. Gunter or someone in the accounting department put that report from the auditor online and make it readily accessible? And here we are 4 months later, and to repeat words or close to the words of Mr. Standard, not all, you don't put good news on Facebook. That report wasn't shining, but yet that in and of itself should go on as the Facebook or town page. So my question, Ms. Marta, through you to the select board and to Mr. Gunter, why hasn't that independent report from the paid auditor been placed on either the Fairhaven page, town page, Facebook, and because it hasn't, how soon shall the citizens of Fairhaven expect that auditor's report, which isn't shining, to be published? Because it's 4 months later.
Is that report available currently?
Should be.
Electronically on the town page, on the town website?
I don't think so. On the website.
Joe, do you know where that town, if the auditor's report is?
I do.
And how can people access that report if they can't physically make it to the office?
They can email me. I can send it.
Okay.
My question, what is the impediment of placing it on Facebook or the town page? That's a public document. That should be published. They publish good news.
Can we have that report? How long is the report?
It can be on the town page.
The town page? Okay. It'll be put on the town page.
Thank you. One final. It took 4 months to get this far and actually in public to press for it. Is there any anticipated date as to how soon it will be published?
No.
Hopefully not another 4 months. Thank you.
We do have this one, though. This little thing that came in and found short below. Any other questions on Article 1? Seeing none, moving on to Article 2. Now, the voters of Fairhaven vote to approve the Select Board's budget of $2,789,632, minus $634,705 anticipated revenue, of which $2,154,927 is to be raised by taxes. Are there any questions on Article 2? Any discussion? Rick.
This is the budget.
The revenue aspect on page 7.
Page 7?
Revenue. Revenue?
Pardon me, I couldn't hear you.
Current property tax revenue. Current real property tax. On the revenue side, how come that revenue down so much?
You know why the general revenue is down?
Yes.
Everybody's paid their late fees.
No. So I'm going to stand up to talk about this. So what we were doing in past years, which I don't know why we did that, but I was using just past practices here. I did it a little different. We were using 030 fund. The 030 revenue was being rolled up into the 010 revenue. I mean, I know why, right? Because 010, the general fund revenue was 010. We were lumping all that revenue into that category, and then the town was moving the general fund revenue to 030. Which it's always a balanced budget. It's just how you look at it, right? So this year, to make it seemingly more clear, I broke out what highway revenue is versus what town revenue is, and that makes a difference. You'll see highway revenue is in the negative a little bit on the next page, and that's because that budget went down a little bit. So you'll see we don't need that much property tax revenue from the residents. Does that answer the question?
Yeah,
it's just shown in a different way.
Any other questions on the budget? All right, Rick.
Under the town clerk, page 10, I see we almost doubled the assistant salary. Assistant salary. Is this the page? this case, a lot of work, or what the function of the assistant to be in almost double the amount.
Joe? I don't see Danny.
I mean, some of that is we used to have one assistant. We have two assistant town clerks now. It's in, I don't know if that's some of it. I think that's where you see the difference. There's two assistant clerks now. That's why that number went up.
Yeah. For two assistants. I mean, I think a year ago, we were talking about one assistant after pay one.
I don't want to speak for that our town clerk though, and I might misspeak, but when we asked the questions about those, it was based on the workload that they felt that they needed in order to get it done. I can't point to the what's this one thing, whether it's elections or something else, but I can't speak to what the town clerk.
The town clerk's not here.
Yeah. On next page, page 11, under the municipal building and grounds, I see subscriptions. What are we subscribing to? Buildings and grounds.
Subscriptions? You said subscription?
Yeah. 4,000,
475, then it jumped up to 3,275, dash expense 20. What are
subscriptions on municipal building and ground? I see that in fiscal year 24, we spent 3,200, and then it went down in fiscal year 25. What subscriptions those are, I don't know specifically, Joe. Do we know what those are?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit. I don't have the list in front of me. I can get it for you. We break this out for each line item. I know it's for newspapers, subscriptions for like online subscriptions for I don't know, like the EDC has a subscription for down. What is that? I'm sorry, I don't have a good answer for you, but I have a list.
Is it software?
It may very well be. I thought I printed it and I didn't. So I apologize.
The word subscription sometimes for software.
It's like an online. There's a couple of online things we signed up for, but
so it would be any kind of magazine or professional
so,
journal kind of thing.
Yeah, I apologize. I thought I brought that sheet and I didn't.
And then the same thing about technology services. That's getting jumped up a lot. Are we using utilizing somebody else outside or something?
Yep. So I can talk to tech services. That's been a big expense for the municipal building. NEMRIC, our software for our budgeting software, has gone up 3%. The town clerk has some software that comes out of that budget. Just stuff for like the just all of the services that we subscribe to for technology
surveillance.
Nope, not the surveillance, but like the website comes out of that. Website servicing comes out of that. NEMRIC and the NEMRIC support for the accountant, that type of thing. And it has, we've seen a jump in that year after year.
Anything else, Rick?
Joe Donaldson. Joe, related to that, is there a chance that there's a better software for us to be using that would fit something all around for the offices of everyone, the town clerk, town manager, select board? Do we know of any other software that's available? Maybe in other towns locally that are using something different?
Yeah, so I don't know the real percentage, but the NEMRIC program, the one that we use most things for, this works for the listers and the budgeting and our assessments. Like it's pretty much integrated into everything we do. I'm going to say a number of like 90% of communities in the state use this.
Okay.
It's pretty much it's what people use. Let's see. I found my sheet. So NEMRC was, we saw a 3% increase. Tax forms, the forms we send out to you, that costs more this year. Training ended up being a little bit more, which is 9,000. That helps our staff work through any issues with NEMRC, if whatever happens, which things always happen. 4,000 for that. Website maintenance was 2,500, and then we had to bump up our malware, which was 500. So we did see an increase in all of that. Mr. Wilson, so this will go down a little bit next year. So subscriptions include the newspaper, which is no longer printed. So that we won't have to budget for that next year. And a large portion of that is our GovOS computer system. So it is a software program. And that's what the town clerk uses to manage her, I think it's the recordings. So that's where that money came from.
Any other questions or discussion on Article 2? Jay?
I got one on Article
2. What page?
Page 11. SRO services. How can we supply police officers for schools for $37,000?
Can you speak up just a little louder?
Yep. How can we provide two officers for $37,000? Full-time officers.
Covered the SRO, the other one in 8 hours.
$37,000? You got a full
she's not a full time officer. Not work on day or holidays, snow days, summer off. It's 180 days.
Well, the year before that, 74,000.
That we spent.
Yeah.
That in that line item, all the other details, security, basketball games, cover. That's what we got back. So I think that was reimbursed.
I still don't see how you can do it two officers for 37,000.
Yeah, that line item is all
so you can't go for
very close on curves. The other one is, like you said, the other 8 hours that built the school, that's reimbursed. That, like I said, yeah, you've been on the board. That line item is 100% reimbursed.
Thanks. Would think you should show the entire amount, what you're taking in, what the action cost and what your action can impact the election in such a way.
Joe.
Thank you.
Sorry, I can't see out that side of my eyes. That glaucoma is kicking in.
So I want to Jay's point, let's see. So the police department is actually our biggest, one of our biggest revenue getters. We did spend, 97, 74 the year before and 24. But that line item, if you look in your revenue, so you spent 74, your income was 171,000. So you got almost $100,000 in.
But it's not broke down. That's what I'm saying. You don't know if the school's paying for the chairs.
We have a contract.
I can give you more details.
Oh, I'm just
any other questions? Seeing no further discussion. No. Okay, Rick.
Under special events on page 14. I think you touched on that with Mike. Really don't understand how you're handling that. It's raising another 2,000. How is that money handled, or how is it pulled out for the?
I can tell you the additional 2,000 is they wanted to do an additional band. Is why we added that. It's gone up for concerts in the park. As far as how that money's handled, I don't they bring the money and they get money? They come up to the town office and get money and run with, yeah, I get two people who keep me honest here and run it. Right after it's done, they take the money and they bring it right back to the town. And they and it's,
take it right to the bank.
And it goes to the
with
bank.
With the help of our police
officers. It's tracked by line item.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the bands have gone between $650 and $800 to now $1,200 and $1,500 a band. That's a chunk of change.
Yes.
So now the town is paying, but that $9,000 is a drop in the bucket. I sent out 38 letters today soliciting funds. You know, the 50-50 goes to help support the concert. So concerts are free to everyone who comes, but they're very costly. So that's why the committee worked so hard to make that money.
You do another week?
We had 9 last year. We're going back to 10. Oh. Pre-COVID, we were at 10. We, you know, it depends on, you know, the availability of bands. COVID, we lost a lot of bands. So, and I shouldn't be talking about concerts because I'm the moderator, but I got a first, that one I know.
One thing should be noted, the $7,500 you see from past year, it's been pretty constant for a very long time. The town's actual tax donations. So the $2,000 is an increase that you've already heard about. And it's the first increase in a very, very long time. I think we went up from 7 to 75, maybe 7 or 8 years, maybe not even that long. It's a cost of doing business. It's a nice service for what we get.
But we have in the budget with the concerts many handles for money, all the money. That was in your report.
That would probably be it with the town treasurer. The town treasurer.
All the food sales,
that goes right to the bank and it goes through the town treasurer. There is no concert committee bank account. And a lot of people think that the concert committee runs, you know, does that. We do not. I sell 50-50 tickets.
Yeah.
And I bake popcorn and serve hot dogs. But we don't do, we get the checks come to Fred, who takes them right to the treasurer. Who takes them right to the bank.
Yeah. And then your committee does go out for bunch of scholarships to help out the interest.
We do go out scholarships. That's part of our thing, but we have to have a student who's eligible for that scholarship.
But the account, I think to get where you're going, the accountant has the detail that you don't see in this report.
Right.
Has okay if there was this much for scholarship, this one has a little more detail, and I think that's our. The treasurer or our new account to be able to just have to give them a call.
It'd be nice to have it in your place.
But when I write the concerts in the park report, I don't have access to that treasurer's report. But I can always ask the treasurer next year.
Yeah.
And you know, and see if we can't put that in there.
Yeah.
Because the concerts end in August, so between August and of course. We have concerts in June, but we don't get town money until July. So we always have to make sure that we have some in the reserve account because we have to pay for those June bands. And they don't get paid in July if they play in June. If they play in June, they get paid that day.
Moderator, I would just like to try to reassure you that I'm going to have that printed in the town report next year, in the auditor's report.
Thank you, Mike. Any other questions? Joe.
Can I beat this horse a little bit more?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm sorry to keep everybody here, but I'm going to stand up. So I want to acknowledge the auditor's concern. I'll admit it has been a very challenging 3 years. We've been through three accountants in 3 years, and it's been difficult. It's what it is. Normally, the things you're requesting tonight, you know, what's in which account, how much goes where, that should be in here. But we have until the end of March for our paid auditor to provide us with that. So that's why it's not here. Because he has, by statute, he has till March. But your finances are audited. There is no malfeasance. The town is well managed. It's just as the accountant has shifted three times, it's been difficult. And I will take full responsibility for that. We're trying to do better, and we're trying to get this information out into this book. It's just been hard. And that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Sort of like the school budgets. We vote on that tomorrow, and we have no clue how much we're going to get from the state. Jeff?
There actually a reserve account?
Jeff, I can't hear you.
Is there actually a reserve account?
A reserve account?
Yeah. Oh.
We
I don't think there is.
It's not considered, I don't believe, a reserve account.
It's money that didn't get spent that was in there because Rich needs money to go buy hot dogs and stuff like that. If you go end up at zero, you've got nothing to pay your bands or nothing to get the hot dogs and stuff you need to start. So they take an amount that's in there. They don't bring it to zero so that they have it. After the concert spark, there's still some money sitting there. But it's not a reserve account. It's just
fun to make clear there is.
Very good point. Thanks, Jim. Where are we? Article 2. Any other questions on Article 2? Seeing none, moving on to Article 3. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to elect officers for the following terms? Town moderator for 1 year term, first constable for 2 year term, two selectmen for 1 year term, one selectman for 3 year term, town clerk for 3 year term, lister for a 3 year term, a lister for 2 year unexpired 3 year of. I'll start that over. Lister for 2 years unexpired 3 year term, lister for 1 year unexpired 3 year term. Auditor for 3 year term, library trustee for 1 year term, library trustee for 3 year term, trustee of public funds for 3 year term, trustee of public funds for 2 years of unexpired 3 year term. Is there any discussion on Article 3? Seeing none, moving on to Article 4. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for the fiscal year 2025-26, the sum of $90,000 to deposit into the Fairhaven Fire Department Fire Vehicles and Equipment Fund. Is there any discussion on Article 4? Sure. Jim?
Jim Helen, Chief Department, they're required. I kind of wished the article wasn't as generic as it was. That's what came out when I explained it. What this is doing. Last year at this time, we came in and successfully brought voters through the article to finance a replacement of our that piece is ordered and should hopefully be through by the end of the year. What that purchase did was approve capabilities for carrying more water, bigger pump. We have a faster stream on a new rig. We got a faster dump system. We got better seam lines. But a little bit of a trade-off because it's a wet side truck, which means the water tank is actually inside of the truck. So you don't have a lot of room for apartment space. So we lost about 14 cubic feet of apartment space versus what we have now.
We also went from a 5-man cab to a 2-man cab. Okay. This piece of Bermuda is in town. It's in our own district. It's our second new. It's our water supply piece. It's also our primary mutual aid truck to went down with. What we're looking to do is replace our brush truck, 1993, pump on it, it dates back to 82. It is a standard 2-man cab. Sits more than it rolls because nobody under 40 can drive it. So what we're looking to do is to replace that brush truck with a crew cab, automatic transmission, combination brush utility with like a service body with a pump and a tank for wildland fire use. That has the department space, carry the equipment, won't be able to carry any tank. And it also has the manpower, seating capacity to replace the manpower. I'm not sure at this point which way we'll go. We're looking at a couple of options. One option is to purchase a new chassis, body, skid unit. The other thing that we're looking at, some brokers we've been looking around that have about once a month or twice a month, they'll come out with a used vehicle, which meets our needs. And the price range for both is similar. So depending on what comes up at the time, we'll be betting. Determine which way we go with it, but the idea is to keep the functionality with something that you can drive, that meets our needs that we're losing with the new piece, keeps our capabilities up, and keeps our price down. We also release the current brush truck for sale, and any proceeds on that, we could roll back into this, and that's what we're doing.
Moderate.
Mike?
The clarifying question for Tim.
Yeah.
Why would we get rid of the old?
Was that
why do we have to get rid of the old one? Okay, there's
a drug speak up.
Why would we need to get rid of the old one with brush fires being more prevalent?
We're not getting rid of it. We're replacing it with something that has more capability.
I know, but so is it a trade?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're keeping the brush capability, but we're also increasing the crew capacity, increasing the apartment space, and putting an automatic transmission where we've been operating.
I don't think you answered my question.
Are you talking about you don't want to sell the brush truck?
Yeah.
The old brush truck?
Like, it seems to me like if it is possible to keep it, it's a 91. It's probably a low traded value anyway.
I don't have room in the house.
Right.
We consolidated 4 pieces of apparatus to 2 to 3. We bought the rescue engine back in 15 years ago. And so we've got to use.
Do you have a garage?
We've got to use the space that we've got. It's their truck, not ours, as far as what comes with it. But that's the thought process. We're not losing capability as far as brush fire capability. Doing is gaining more capability than losing the ETA version. That makes sense.
Paul Jardine, I was going to ask the chief, what are some other capabilities other than wildland?
Utility, equipment, personnel.
Vehicle fire.
Well, we've got the ER would take care of that. I mean, this has got a dedicated function. Right now, the rig we've got now is a brush truck. It's got a lot of equipment thrown on it. It's just a flatbed pod. Doesn't have compartment space, so your stuff is kind of banging around. We've got to let it lash down as best we can, but it'll be something that we made up in house. So we're looking to take that stuff plus the stuff on in the ETA that we don't have the room for, we don't have the apartment space. And make a utility slash brush truck.
All set? Any other questions for the chief? Seeing none. Article 5. I'm getting feedback. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $99,336 to support the Fairhaven Free Library?
Chris Sheldon, Library Trustee. I just wanted to give you a little bit of information about the libraries. The library isn't just for books, although there's a lot of digital books that are available as well as hard print books, computer services, Wi-Fi. They have snowshoes. They have passes to places like Vins, Hildene, Echo, Shelburne Museum, the State Park. You just go to the library, ask for the pass, and you can go to those places for free. They also have movies. They gave COVID tests this last year and eclipse glasses when the eclipse came. When you're looking at the salary line, there is the main librarian that works 28 hours a week, a children's librarian for 10 hours a week, an assistant librarian for 4 hours a week, a bookkeeper for 5 hours, and a custodian for 5 hours. And on a monthly basis, there is about 125 volunteer hours that go into operating the library, which we tend not to think about. There's a couple of things. The future of the library. One is that the masonry on the outside of the library is damaged, and we're looking at getting some grant money to pay for that. We are on the National Historical Registry, so we have to go through the state and get approved people to take care of that. And we're probably looking at getting the library. So if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
And if anybody knows some masons who are approved by the state of Vermont, please let the library know. Yeah.
What did you say?
The library needs masonry work done. So it has to be someone who's approved by the state since we are on the National Historic Register.
Yeah, and Vito. Will the masonry allow the front entrance to be ever used again?
Probably not. I know the front entrance is gorgeous. Beautiful. It's so beautiful.
They go into the side alley.
Yeah. It just doesn't work with the changes that they made when they did the addition.
Yeah.
I don't know if how many people know that we are one of the three Carnegie libraries in the state of Vermont. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And that front entrance way is used for some storage now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that they have to come in the side entrance for that ADA. Any other questions about the library, discussion on the library? Article 6, shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for the fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $186,048 for the support of the Fairhaven Rescue Squad? Any questions or discussion on the rescue squad?
Now, I'm Wendy Fitzgerald, I'm the Chief of Fairhaven Rescue. I'd like to know if anybody has any questions, if anybody has any.
I saw you back there. Does anyone have any questions for her? Seeing none. Article 7. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate the fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $32,450 to support Slate Valley Cares, formerly known as Fairhaven Concerned, Inc., a program which organizes and coordinates services necessary to meet the needs of the citizens of the town of Fairhaven? Is there any discussion on Article 7? Rick.
Going to their report on page 55, future goals and efforts here collaborate with surrounding town resource program and information sharing. Have we addressed the resources of other towns concerning various
Jeff?
Jeffrey Jackson, the director of Slate Valley Cares.
Yeah, what do you have a specific resource? Be more specific.
Yeah, even we both are comfortable. Are we on the ballot of any of the towns that we take care of for money from it?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So Benson, West Haven, and Castleton are also that rough ballot for this. And then the reason why there's also a 10% increase in the ask on our haven, just that request hasn't changed in the last 3 years. It reflects the increase in cost of resources. It's significantly less than what we spend on the residents. Our haven doesn't even reflect half of what we spend in the town. So that seems pretty fair. You can cover the other costs, for grants, appraisers, etc. But yeah, so we were able to successfully get on the ballots with those other towns that I mentioned. We're also coordinating the town of Whitehall, assess that information sharing bit where to see how we can coordinate with other communities so that they can set up social services that better support their communities in their communities specifically, so that our organization doesn't have to carry the burden of that.
So at this point, we aren't getting help. Other.
Yeah, I mean, it's very evident to be really clear. Very evident represents 60% of the like, total research. So, that's correct.
Yep.
Yes, one of them. You know, hunger and social need knows no bounds. So there's, there's compassion.
Rick, I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm just concerned that they're addressing New York State residents that they're helping out with stuff. Whitehall, Camden, Granville.
Yeah, like that's how. Well, that's what I said. Like we're in the process. I've already been in conversations with their representatives from all those towns. These things take a lot of time. It's not a sexy thing. Nobody wants to like get up and represent. It's like we're in the business of giving away free, and when there's no monetary return for that, nobody gets really excited about it. It's a slower process. And I would like, totally agree with you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, moving on to Article 8. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $2,739 for the support of Rutland Mental Health Services so that these services can be maintained? Seeing none, moving on to Article 9. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $3,000 to support the programs and services of ROC Community Action in Southwestern Vermont? Any questions or discussions about Article 9?
I'm just curious as to whether some of those services are offered through Slate Valley Cares. Is any of that stuff offered that way?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. And what's really important to bear in mind is that a person in acute crisis or an emergency need, or especially such as mental health, we are a resource for folks that are in acute crisis, and we don't have staffing for somebody that's
I totally understand that. What I think
we could
misunderstand my question is, is there a direction that person could be pointed
to them throughout the mental health or to Brock, or and that's where like
somebody, you may have somebody's name that is that exactly, the mental health that they can go to directly.
Exactly.
That was more of a question.
That's if you look next time you drive by our window, you can see
it's right to the center in connection with the person or so the branch that provide and the community connection with it is just that. So some of the funds in it. And we do our sort of an info assessment. And then based on what their situation is, direct them to the homeless prevention center or connect them to a person to help them sign up for stamps or connect them to mental health services. And yeah, those are important. I know that if you look down this list of Brock might be a life redundancy, but they also do all the weatherization stuff. RSVP needs to work with other coordinated volunteers, provide our organization with volunteer liability insurance, which is helps reduce our costs. And then the hospice, sorry, I'm just going out of this list now, but yes, all these are really, these social services are really important for the fabric of our community in the absence of neighbors tending to neighbors.
Okay. So the second part of that question would be that if Slate Valley Cares is able to send somebody to Rutland Mental Health or whatever, and that person is from Fairhaven, is Rutland Mental Health going to turn them away because they didn't get funds from Fairhaven? I guess is my question. I can't imagine that they would. But
I guess they would not.
Okay.
But I can't, truthfully, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. It's just stuff like that.
Jeffrey, I don't think anybody's ever turned anybody away.
The same thing with Brock. Or
it's not like
that.
Not having an insurance thing. They, they're there when you need those, these folks are in crisis when they go to these places.
Absolutely. I understand that.
Any other questions? Article 10. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $1,200 to support RSVP, Retired Senior Volunteer, and the Volunteer Center? Any questions about Article 10? Seeing none. Article 11, shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $7,087 for the support of VNA and Hospice of the Southwest Region, formerly known as Rutland Area Visiting Nurse Association and Hospice? Are there any questions on Article 11? Seeing none, moving to Article 12. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $3,500 to support the ARC Rutland area serving citizens with developmental disabilities? Is there any, are there any discussion or questions on Article 12? Seeing none, moving to Article 13. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $9,000 for the support of the Castleton Community Seniors, Inc., the Old Homestead, Senior Bus Transportation and Wellness Programs? Are there any questions on Article 13? Seeing none, moving to Article 14. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $2,500 for the support of the Marble Valley Regional Transit District's the bus public transit service to the residents of the town? Any questions on Article 14? I haven't asked, but are there any questions coming up from, okay. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $5,000 for the support of Fairhaven Boys and Girls Club to provide services to residents of the town? Any questions on Article 15, Don? And
then... my question is that separately to our recognition, or is that in conjunction with it? I know very little about that, but more expansion of it. It seems like that keeps going up, but I don't know if all of us really
really having that. Of course, I don't have no kids, so just more for information. Anybody answer that?
Totally, sir.
Okay, so it's like after school program.
They utilize the school building separate program.
So I was like, it all turned
on. John Galvin, it's my understanding that this tax that passed this last year, that all the employers pay, and everybody that works in the state of Vermont pay, it's supposed to go toward child care. Can't the Boys and Girls Club access that some of that funding? And so why are we funding it as well?
You know the answer to that, Rosie?
It's going towards they can use the people who are benefiting from the child care tax. They can use those credits or however they're working it towards the boys paying for the Boys and Girls Club, their kid to go to the Boys and Girls Club. That was at the school board meeting.
I think there's nobody here.
I don't see Nicole or anyone that I know from the Boys and Girls Club.
And the only other comment I'd make is, like, last year there was 10,000. They dropped it, I think, just like the school took the Boys and Girls Club out because of the tax, to your point. Of why are you paying? I think what they did is they went from the 10,000 that they had on last year back to 5,000 this year because they looked at it and said, okay, understand they did something up in Montpelier with tax credit. So they went back to their regular 5,000. So I mean,
I don't have my book last from last year, but I think it did go down.
Yeah, of course. It went down by 5,000.
Any other questions? Seeing none, moving to Article 16. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $1,800 for Southwestern Vermont Council on Aging to provide elder services to residents of the town? Any questions about Article 16? Seeing none, moving on. Article 17. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $800 to support the Child First Advocacy Center to provide services to residents of the town? Any comments or questions on Article 17?
So the way that one reads, it sounds like if they didn't get the money from the town, they're not going to provide services.
No, I don't believe
that article again, please.
Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $800 to support the Child First Advocacy Center to provide services to residents of the town?
They all say that.
Yes. They yes. Was it Tia Polino last year who talked about Child First Advocacy Center? Somebody talked about it. And maybe it was the police. Yeah, it was you guys. You want to go?
So the Child First Advocacy Center is a center in Rutland that supports the special crime prevention of each town. They asked the town and county for the same funding. I'm not sure what the formula is on a dollar. But we have an MOU with them that any case that's violent sexual assault or sexual assault or rape on the child, that we refer all cases to the PCF, the child looks at it. They're affected, especially trained on sexual assault. We'll investigate those cases, take them out of our hands. We call feedback with them.
Thank you, Bill. I knew it was something like that.
Okay.
Article 18. Oh, there were any other questions for there? Article 18. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26 the sum of $1,359 to support the regional ambulance service? John.
John Galvin. Once again, every year I say the same thing.
This is one of those articles that demonstrates that most of the voters in town have no idea what they're voting for. Just the people in this room are interested. They come to meetings. You all can be educated and thoughtful about what you vote for. I guarantee this is going to pass. We have an ambulance that it got on the ballot and it never gets taken off because we're not requiring another petition each year. Why are we donating money to Butler Regional Ambulance when we have our own ambulance? It stemmed years ago. They provided a lot more mutual aid to Fairhaven today. Fairhaven's done a great job at growing. There's been times where we've had more paramedics on duty than they have. They're a great organization, but we give them mutual aid. They give us mutual aid. It's on the ballot. I don't know how to get these things off the ballot, but I guarantee this is going to pass. And most people that vote yes are voting for. They have no idea what they're voting for. They see the word ambulance. Everybody I talked to about it says, well, I thought it was Fairhaven. It's not. But I guarantee this is going to pass. I also guarantee that the 200 people that are in this room, most of them have no idea that it's not our ambulance.
Paul? Yeah, I just want to say that program started when most of these services were volunteer, and that was for the Advanced Life Support Paramedic Intercept, which could provide paramedic level service now. So, but sometimes I have EMTs on and I do have to call, but like John said, sometimes they don't have paramedics available. But that's the history.
Thanks, Paul.
Any
questions? Rick?
Halfway on the road going over to
sometimes
I've seen
what they have on duty for advanced EMTs or paramedics and the nature of the call, but also we provide paramedics for them and for other, you know, not as common because they're that direction. But our ambulance has gotten to call the Rutland City. It's mutual aid. And we provide paramedic intercepts for Granville or Holby or whatever, just like they used to do for us. The point is, it's like people don't, I don't think people understand what they're voting for. If the voters think that's a thing we should continue, by all means, then vote yes. I don't think people know what they're voting.
Donnie?
I think it's something we should expect to the board to maybe look at. If they're going to reprise for this off, make them a decision for the future for next year. And we can provide you with such things. Like John saying, we're going that way a lot more than they come this way. The culture is very good at the other end. I've been on Great Breath since 1990 or 91 teacher. And the culture is good. The people are coming. People from the other organization are coming here for less money because it's a little less busy. But it's a good culture to advance your skills and teach others. It's a trivial fact, so it's $1,400, but it's funny. I don't think we need to be sending over there because a lot of times we call, they don't come. It's not their fault. Everybody's trying to dip the same pool. The pool used to be this big. The pool's not this big. Whatever, fire companies, police. Everybody's dealing with everybody. You get a certification, you know, you can work anywhere. I just make that point to the board. I would recommend maybe make them a decision next year to not actually putting it on the ballot. So that's whatever. That was my view.
Paul?
Yeah, the reason that this whole thing started was Fairhaven Rescue wasn't licensed at the paramedic level. It didn't have the capability to provide advanced life support like regional ambulance did. So they asked for funding from all the towns that have ambulance services that they provide the service to. Over the years, we are capable, we're licensed to paramedic left.
Any other comments, questions, discussion? Seeing none? Article 19. Shall the voters of Fairhaven vote to appropriate for fiscal year 2025-26? The sum of $2,000 to support the Rutland County Health Partners. Any questions or comments?
Who is that? I was just going to say the same thing.
I believe it's the free clinic.
In North Main Street, Rutland. They have a new building now.
And I think they changed names. It used to be the Rutland Free Clinic.
Yeah, so the health provider service for all the churches is maybe the goal. Never heard of that. Didn't know what
it was. Yeah.
I just want to make a comment on that we've been partnering with Tia.
Yeah, not really. Tia? Yes. Polina?
We've been partnering with Tia the last year and a half, and monthly some volunteer nurses come from the Rutland County Health Partners and does health screenings for folks that are shopping at Psychedelic Cares. It's a valuable service for the community because a lot of folks won't go see a doctor because they have no insurance, but at least they can get a closer baseline in a non-invasive way if they choose to access that resource.
Just when you thought we were almost done. Moving on to the bond vote information on the water system improvement. Did everyone pick up this? It's that little piece of paper that said sample. Your town report. Special meeting March 4th, 2025. Shall general obligation bonds or notes or other evidence of indebtedness of the town of Fairhaven in an amount not to exceed $675,000, which is in addition to the $1,200,000 of indebtedness approved at a special meeting of the town on March 7th, 2023. Such additional indebtedness subject to reduction from the receipt of available state and federal grants and aid be issued for the purpose of financing the cost of water system improvements in the area of downtown Fairhaven. The aggregate estimated cost of such improvements being $1,875,000. Any questions, or can someone explain to us about the bond vote tomorrow?
I believe this is because all of it's well, came back higher, and you know they wouldn't do the job for what the bond issue was set up for. And in order to do this project, this is the additional money they're going to have to do it. It's requested that this job is done for the fall of next year because of the fact that to repave Main Street, and they want to get this water line put in. There's no way that they can do this unless this bond passes. They have to have.
But to your point, this is a project that you can't go down. This has to be done, or we'll end up
gotta be done.
A situation like Whitehall. Whitehall without water for over a week this summer. This type of infrastructure stuff you can't put off. Not getting any cheaper, and it's not getting any
cheaper. I feel instead of putting in the bond where the price had increased that amount, it just makes me feel a little easier about more important. But it's a necessary and I'm not one of them. Trust me.
Any other questions? So are they just going to repave Main Street? Is that now?
4A is
4A.
Is going to be paved down from town out Prospect.
And out Prospect Street to the state. And Bay State.
And I'll only add to what Jay said is this water project critical for Southside and water for knowing that they ain't
critical for
protection also. It's one that we went out to bid twice, asked. When we saw we weren't even getting close to where what the bond was approved, should we keep trying? And what the advice we were given is it's not going to get cheaper. It's probably going to get more expensive. So that's why we're asking for this.
This project was on the agenda when I was on the board. It's been something that's been it just keeps going on and on because I think one time we only got one bidder. And you have to have bidders that redid it.
I believe one time it was no bids.
It just went up more every time.
And the other part of the project is up by McDonald's and that end, where because there's two elements. There's that piece is all part of this one bond. So I didn't want you to think I was just talking one side.
No.
Right.
Any other questions on that?
Seal, can we back up to Article 15? We had a question from online that we didn't get to.
Okay. Is Article 15, sure.
She said, this is a great program. Why did this double from 5,000 to 10,000? Am I reading this incorrectly in the town report?
It went down from 10,000 to 5,000.
No. It went down. Okay.
Wait.
And now she says, yes, it was answered. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of the new tax.
New tax.
Payroll tax.
Yeah, payroll tax. Let's see. Don't forget to vote for your favorite pet. Article 20, to transact any other business properly to be done at the annual town meeting. Anyone have any questions, comments about Article 20? Mike.
Mike Standard, to echo Mr. Galvin, I guess he left the sentiments about less and less people being here constantly. And we get formed and then we go vote. I would give you a conservative estimate that the comments that I'm going to make about plowing, salting, sanding, and sidewalk policy from this year, there are 200 people behind me that aren't here that have the same question or question. So my question to the board of the town manager is, has there been a policy change, whether formal or informal, personnel training change, equipment change, staff hours, etc. this year, or is it just that we're not used to hard winters, so our policy doesn't work? Because there are hundreds of people in this town that find children falling in the sidewalks on their way to school, multiple stories about situations like that for weeks on end. If the kids are falling on the way to school, the town is falling. We can't do it next year. So I'm wondering, has there been some change? I personally would love to see a bigger budget item for like some new sidewalk equipment or more sand. So, you know, salt doesn't work. Freezing point suppression doesn't work under 19 degrees. If you have that for 3 weeks on end, you've got people. And I have a story that sounds completely unrealistic to share with them before they answer. It sounds like I'm making it up. But I came across a man when I left the post office backing his wheelchair up 3 inches of ice at the top of the hill on Adam Street. And I'm not making this up. Actually, Mr. Galvin there. He left. I thought he'd back me up on it. I pulled out in front of him, blocked traffic, asked if he'd like help. He was a stubborn guy, and he said, no, I don't need any help. I'm good. And we were like, holy crap, this guy needs help. But we just blocked traffic and let him get up the hill. I don't think it's acceptable to let that happen next year, and I would love to hear why it happened this year.
I can answer a little bit of that. It's happening everywhere. I spent the day in Essex today. I walked a mile and a half of their sidewalks. They're exactly the same as ours. Essex is infrastructure heaven, very, very, and they have a budget that can do what you're asking us to do. They can't do it.
Okay, so if this is moderator, I'd like him to answer the question. Has there been a policy change involving personnel, training, equipment, purchases of sand, purchases of salt, hours paid to public works employees?
Has any of that changed?
My comment to you to them is that there needs to be next year.
Joe?
Because I've been to a lot of places that were nowhere near.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll beat this one to death too. So I hear you. And the sidewalks were bad and we had some tough times. We didn't have a melt in January like typically we have. It gets real cold. We see a freeze. It melts down. We're able to catch back up, and it freezes back up. We can move on with that. This is an unpopular opinion. This was as good as it's going to get. Our policy hasn't changed. Our staffing has improved. We have the new sidewalk machine. But we can't control Mother Nature. If it gets a little warm and the snow melts a little bit and then it freezes on the sidewalk, no plow machine, no sidewalk machine is going to scrape up that ice. Like you said, it's been so cold, salt doesn't work. It's what it is. We live in Vermont, and we haven't had a tough winter in, what, 7 years? So this, it's not always like this, and it won't always be like this. It was just a bad winter is what it boils down to.
Jay?
I would like to touch on what you just said. The park is deep well, minerals in front of the walkways. You don't bother cleaning the walkways. My feeling is there's no pride for the gentlemen. I know they work hard, but you gotta have some pride. When you drive the state ice, right at the bank, they came down with the bucket loader. That sidewalk right across from the bank has got a windrow at least 2 foot high. Just drive by and don't touch it. The sidewalks in the park are full of ice. I mean, they could at least spread a little sand up there. People still try to walk the park. Take a little pride in what you're doing.
Okay, I agree with you.
Any other?
I can touch on that too.
Okay, Jeff.
I mean, we can sit here and we can beat this horse till it's 6 foot in the ground. And I totally understand that. But just riding down some of these streets, a lot of the other towns are taking the snow off the side of the sidewalk, between the sidewalk and the road, and they're taking it elsewhere and keeping that space clear so the next time that they plow, they have some place for that snow to land. That's not happening. I know it's happened in Fairhaven before. I've lived here all my life. It has happened before. I do see it done in front of the Veterans Triangle from time to time. That's great. I appreciate the sidewalk being redone there this past fall. It was great to see. But a lot of these streets that we have around here are already narrow. And when we have a windrow that's 2.5 feet out in the road on both sides, losing 5 feet of that road. I would just like to ask that, you know, maybe it does get a little bit better with winging these things back a little bit. And I mean, we got wings on some of these trucks. We should be using. Just my open opinion.
Any other?
My only comments on your plowing and sidewalk is, period. The answer to your original question, though, did we change anything? Not to my knowledge, but I've heard the same concerns that people thought that we were better off when we were snow blowing versus the deplowing even. That we hear you, and all I can say is we hear you and we can look at it. I don't know what that answer is.
So one of the things I was bringing up, this has been kind of a concern all winter. I've talked about bringing our part-time guides on, finding the budget to bring them on in the winter to do sidewalks. We don't have a dedicated sidewalk person. Usually it's Nate. He'll run the truck for as long as he can, and then he'll hop in the sidewalk plow and quickly get around town. So that's one of the things I brought up, is looking at bringing on our part-time guides in the summer, rotation in the winter time, but thinking around that, we've already went over the highway budget, so it's something that if I get reelected, I'd like to push to put that in the budget to hire.
They used to have hillside hill.
So I'd like to bring in our part-time guys in the winter to dedicate just the sidewalks. Same as you. My wife's a bus driver. She comes through town all the time. She drops off the high school. She sees a block in the middle of 4th Street. She's It's followed well 4th Street. I mean, it's not acceptable, right? But you know, we don't have something dedicated just to sidewalks. So
cleats for kids.
Yeah, about that. But that's something that I brought up, was, you know, bringing on our part-time guys or some for help this winter time.
Another question.
Yeah, Rick.
An employee wage salary base summer report on 1349, which is nice to be, but is that including benefits? Not just salary. Is it?
That's salary. That's their salary.
Oh, benefits?
Just salary.
I would say there are some that most of those don't get benefits. Well, full-time workers, part-time workers are not.
I mean, I guess Dale Gerber off. I mean, Dale Gerber would be. But 93,000, that's the salaries of the year.
Oh, that's a lot of that time.
Well, I would say
he should be salary.
Well, I see where you're paid. The other is a free for James. Economics. Yeah, well, that's what I would say to all that. The show will be paid and not reimbursed for.
Yeah.
Other than the normal. And not be part of the grant. Well, it's just how
it. Any other questions? Seeing none. Let's see, we will adjourn to the polling place for receiving Australian ballots under Articles 1 through 19 tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. at the Fairhaven Post 49 Legion Building. And in addition, we will also be voting on that bond issue. And your pet mayor.
Where's the pet mayor
then? Huh? The pet mayor is right over there.
Cider about 2 months ago.
Thank you for coming in.
Why is it not good?
Thank you.
Joe, do you have a box? It's an
interesting conversation. Okay.
This
is actually very lively. Last year, nobody really said anything.
We need to talk. Do we know who this
is? Being president of information.
Oh, okay.
Try the world.